you haven't worked out already, today is the Good Shepherd Sunday. Our gospel reading today is taken from the Gospel according to John, chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him, because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." For the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of God, who is creator, redeemer, and sanctifier. Amen. Please be seated. So there's a story I heard about a man who'd taken up the habit of walking very early each morning. Not because he was particularly disciplined, but rather because he was having difficulty sleeping. Anybody else have difficulty sleeping? Oh, look, there's a few people. I woke up at 4 o'clock this morning and I thought, "You silly person, go back to sleep." Did I get back to sleep? No. Anyway, this man would get up each morning and go for a walk because he had difficulty sleeping. The worries of the world had a way of arriving in the dark. Headlines, conflicts, uncertainty about the future, concern for his family, and a quiet sense of how life felt more fragile than it used to be. So instead of lying there wrestling with it all, he'd get up and go for a walk. At first, he said, the walks felt heavy. His mind was noisy. He replayed conversations, imagined worst-case scenarios, and carried things that were never his to carry in the first place. Does that sound familiar? Yeah. We all do that from time to time, don't we? But over time, something shifted. There was a particular stretch of the walk where the sun would begin to rise, just faintly, and the world would soften. Birds would begin singing, and the air would feel different. And almost without realizing it, he would start to breathe more deeply. One morning, he noticed something that he'd walked past many, many times before. A small group of sheep in the field, with a farmer standing quietly nearby. There was no shouting, no rushing, just a presence. And every now and then, the farmer would make a small sound, barely audible, and the sheep would respond. Not dramatically, just a gentle turning, a subtle movement, a quiet following. And the man said, "It struck me in that moment, the sheep weren't being driven, they were being led." There's something in that story, in that image, which feels deeply connected to the readings that we've just heard. We're still in Easter, as we know, we're still in the Easter season. The resurrection's happened. Jesus has overcome death. But now comes the question for the people back in Jesus' day and for us. How do we live in light of all of this, especially in a world that still feels at times uncertain and heavy. You can imagine the disciples in Jesus' time would have felt really quite uncertain about what was going on in their world. And certainly things didn't always get easier for them. As we know, Christians were persecuted for many, many years. We are obviously Christ's disciples in this day and age. And in some ways, we have different burdens to what the disciples bore back then. So into this space, into that space, we're given the image of the Good Shepherd. Not a distant figure or a loud commanding presence, but one whose voice is known, whose presence is steady, and whose purpose in life is to give us real life, abundant life. So it's a life that isn't just so home, you know, ho-hum sort of a life. It's a life that's just full of abundance. When Jesus said, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly," it's easy to hear this as if it's something that we may experience one day, or maybe it's an idealized version of life. But if we listen carefully and put it alongside Psalm 23, which I think is probably the most loved psalm and the best known psalm of all. In fact, one of the people at the first service after I preached a sermon today, she said to me, she said, "You know, every night before I go to sleep, I lie in bed and say my prayers and I say Psalm 23. And she said, "It's such a comfort to me, such a comfort." So if we put, as I say, the gospel reading next to Psalm 23, and the glimpse of the early church that's found in the book of Acts today, we can see this abundant life is something much closer, more grounded, and more relational than we often imagine. It begins with being known. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. There's something profoundly healing in this, because in this day and age, so many people have a sense of being unseen or misunderstood. Even in a world which is more connected than ever through the internet, there can be a sense of loneliness. And sometimes we wonder if anyone really knows who we really are. Today we have Jesus saying without any ambiguity whatsoever, "I know you, I know you." Not the version of you that you present or the version that you wish you were, but the real you. I know you. The one who worries at night, who carries hopes and dreams and doubts at the same time. The one who's trying in the midst of everything to make sense of life. And the extraordinary thing is, this knowing is not followed by rejection, but by an invitation. I know them. And they follow me. Which brings us back to the image of being led rather than driven. There are so many forces, aren't there, in our world that drive us. Fear can drive us, certainly pressure to succeed. If you're at work and trying to climb that corporate ladder or do whatever you're doing there, the pressure to succeed can drive you. Constant comparisons, especially in our digital age, can push us into feeling that we're behind the eight ball a bit, or maybe not quite enough. I'm really glad that I'm not a teenager growing up in today's world, because I think it would just be so much more pressure upon you to be and look a certain way. And you can't get out of it. It's there, you know? So that's there. But even good things sometimes can become burdens if they turn into expectations that we have to meet. Yet the voice of the Good Shepherd is different. It doesn't push us from behind or demand perfection. Rather, it calls from ahead and offers us this wonderful, calm, peaceful presence. So this is where Psalm 23 speaks so powerfully into our lives. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It's not a denial of need. We all have needs. There's nothing wrong with having needs. Rather, it's a declaration of trust, saying how at the deepest, deepest level, our lives are held, and there's a source of care and provision which is not dependent on everything going right, So regardless what's going on in the world around us, regardless what's going on in our families, in our lives or whatever, we know that we are held by this loving presence. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. As we navigate through the constant change that is happening in our world today, and also all the noise of the world. In fact, I know at the moment, I've heard a few people say to me, I've given up turning on the news at night. I don't actually want to see any more of what's going on. So I'm not interested in it. It's just too much for them to try and absorb, too much for them to try and sort of work through and process and that. So they sort of think, okay, I know that there's a lot going on, but I'm actually going to have a little bit of time out. So here's this image of restoration, of being led into places of rest and stillness and renewal. It's really important for us every single day if we can. Not that I'm making this a demand, but it is important every single day if we can to find, just carve out a bit of time where we can find some rest and stillness and renew. Then the psalm goes on, even though I walk through the darkest valley. And this reminds us how even though we're led by the Good Shepherd, it doesn't mean that we avoid difficulties. Instead, it means that we're not facing them alone. And this is where the Easter story deepens all of it, because the one who calls himself the Good Shepherd is also the one who has passed through death and come out the other side. He doesn't lead us around the valley. He leads us through it as one who knows the way. Which brings us, perhaps surprisingly, to the reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Now, at first glance, it might seem completely different as it speaks about the early church and their practices and shared life. But when we look more closely, we begin to see that this is what life looks like when people are living as those who have been led by the risen Christ. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread, which we will do in a minute, and prayers, which we will do in a minute. There's a rhythm and an intention here, a sense of life not being random. Then there's a slightly challenging detail, isn't there, in the passage. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. This generosity is not an occasional act. It's actually a way of life for them. It's what happens when people begin to trust their security isn't found in holding tightly to what they have. Have you ever been a person that's lent something to somebody and then you haven't got it back? Are you able to do that? Are you comfortable doing that? It doesn't bother me. I mean, if I lend something to somebody, I hope I get it back. But if I don't get it back, it doesn't bother me because I sort of think, well, you know, maybe that person needs it more or whatever, you know. But it's a case of whether you actually really hold on tightly to your things or whether you're prepared sometimes to sort of let them go and sort of just be, I don't know. It's one of the things. Anyway, so as I say, it begins when we begin to sort of trust that our security isn't found in holding on to things and what we have, but in being part of a community where care is shared. And we have a lovely caring community here. In our world today, where there's such a strong emphasis on personal accumulation, this can feel confronting. But it's also deeply compelling because we see glimpses of it in moments of crisis. We see that now in our world. In Australia, if there's a fire, a big, huge fire, or if there's a flood somewhere, it's amazing how the people around Australia will come together. And then the generosity begins to flow and they'll either give money or they'll give food or they'll give clothing or they'll give their time. They'll actually turn up in person to help with whatever the situation might be. random strangers care for one another. And in those moments, something of the kingdom breaks through. As we're reminded how the early community in Acts pulled together. We need to remember, though, also, that many early Christians, including the apostles, believed that Jesus would return in their lifetime. So this may have had some impact on how they acted and what they did. But that's just something we do need to bear in mind. But this coming together and supporting and helping each other is something that's really beautiful. The invitation of Easter and of this Good Shepherd Sunday is to recognise these moments are not meant to be rare exceptions. They're signs of the life that we're being called into, a life where we listen for the shepherd's voice and allow ourselves to be led into trust, even when we might prefer to be in control. A life where we begin to reflect this same care in the way we relate to others. And perhaps it begins, as it did for the man on his early morning walks, with simply noticing. Noticing the voices we're listening to. Noticing the pace at which we're living. Noticing where we're driven and where we feel gently led. Noticing where there's a quiet invitation to trust, to let go and to step into something deeper. Because the voice of the Good Shepherd is not always the loudest voice. It's often the one that speaks in the midst of stillness, in moments that we might otherwise overlook. And yet it's the voice that leads to life, real, abundant life. Not a life that's free from challenge. We're not going to have that. But a life which is held within a deeper presence and shaped by relationship rather than fear. A life that even in the midst of everything going on carries within it a quiet and steady hope. So perhaps the question we carry from here is not simply, do I believe this? But am I listening? Am I making space to hear that voice? Am I willing to be led, even in small ways? Am I open to being part of a community which reflects that same care and generosity? Because the promise remains as true now as it was then. There is a shepherd who knows us, a voice that calls us, and a path that leads us to life. And even in a world which can feel uncertain and noisy at times, and sometimes even overwhelming, that voice has not been lost, and it's still speaking to us, gently, persistently, calling each of us by name into an abundant life. The Lord be with you.